Let's pray as we turn to God's Word together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sense of your presence here this morning. And as we have been praying, thank you that you are a refuge and that you meet all of our needs. And Lord, we acknowledge in this moment that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so as we look at the words that have come from your mouth, the scriptures that we have, Lord, we ask that you would feed us, that you would nourish us, that you would give us what we need for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but when something bad happens to me, I have this question inside. What did I do wrong to deserve this? Has that ever happened to you? I remember when we first came to Strasbourg, we were here on a sabbatical for a couple of months. And at the time, we lived just right across from Saint-Maurice Church, if you know where that is, big church. And I had been told if you ever get lost and need to know the right direction, look for Place Arnault. Because that's the place right in front of the church. And there are signs around the city pointing you that direction. And that will get you home because you live right across the street. Okay, sounds good. One night we were coming home late at night. And parking by that place is terrible. You know, most of us who drive know the struggle with parking. And it was late at night and raining and dark. It was just one of those nights where the light seemed to disappear. And it was raining, pouring down rain. And I pulled up in front of our apartment building. No parking anywhere. So I thought I would be nice to my wife and my son who was with us. And I said, I will let you out and go find parking. So I let them out the door, drove down the street, took a turn, took another turn, and was immediately lost. Now, I'm from Minnesota, the Midwest of the United States, with lots of land and brand new cities. Cities that are laid out on a grid system. You have 1st Street, 2nd Street, 3rd Street. The other direction, they go alphabetical. So it's almost impossible to get lost. Everything is nice and square. Not here. Do you have any idea how quickly you can lose a huge church, a giant landmark? I assume by the laughter you've had a similar experience. And having been here for 2 weeks at the time, I can tell you there is not a single sign in this city for Place Arnault. There are many signs for Place Arnold. I saw Place Arnold everywhere, but I was told Place Arnault. There were no signs for Place Arnault.
I don't think they knew.
They don't get it because you get it. You get it. Those of us who read French, but with an English pronunciation, know that for some strange reason, the French pronounce Place Arnold, Place Arnault. So when I was told, look for Place Arnault, I'm looking for I don't know, PLASARNO. Nowhere. There isn't a sign anywhere. I was gone for, I don't know, a couple of hours. Driving around, looking. I had tears coming. Seriously. It was horrible. But one of the thoughts in my mind was, God, what did I do to deserve this? You know? I'm repenting of any known sin, anything I can think of. God, just get me home. It's horrible. It was horrible. But I think we have this natural tendency to say, what did I do to deserve this? Okay? We have that tendency. Not only that, I think if we're honest, sometimes we have that same tendency when it comes to the troubles that other people are experiencing. What did they do that got them into the situation they're in? They must have done something wrong to either cause this or to deserve it. I had a friend in university who's came from one of these families that had a bunch of kids, and then there was a big gap, and then a bunch of kids. So she was a university student with little kid brothers and sisters. I mean, 5-6-year-old brothers and sisters. And her father was a veterinarian and felt the call of God to leave his practice, to sell everything, and move to Haiti as a missionary. Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world, and he felt the call of God to go there. And so he sold everything, moved his wife and small children to Haiti, had been there for several months, and started developing some stomach pain. Didn't know what it was. Thought, you know, I'm living in Haiti. Maybe it's some type of weird disease or something. I'm going to fly to Miami to get checked out. And he got to Miami, and the doctors examined him, and he was thinking it's an ulcer or something, or some weird disease. The doctors came into the room and said, no, you have cancer. You have stomach cancer, and it is very, very serious. In fact, it's not only in your stomach, it has spread to other organs in your body, and there's not much we can do. And in that situation, of course, people were praying. People were praying that God would heal him. But there were other people that came to see him and said, what did you do? What did you do? You need to confess your sin. You need to confess your sin. I had people coming to my friend, whose father is in the hospital with terminal cancer, coming up to her and saying, your father must have sinned in order for this to have happened to him. Now, you know, that sounds pretty like a harsh thing to do, a harsh thing to say, you know, even if you're thinking it. But I think it shows a natural tendency in us to say, if there's something wrong in a person's life, they must have done something to deserve it. Well, what do we say about that? there is a sense in which the evil or bad things that happen to us are the result of sin. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. So there is a sense that the reason why my friend's father had cancer and was going to die was because we live in a world that has been destroyed by sin. So there's a sense in which we could say that every illness and the things that we suffer are the result of sin. The problem comes when you seek to make it particular. Your particular problem is the result of a particular sin. My friend's father was one of the most godly people I've met. He loved Jesus with all of his heart, willing to sacrifice everything to move to a poor, impoverished country to try to express the love of Jesus there. To think that he, was being punished by God just doesn't make sense in the particulars. It doesn't make sense. Now, does God sometimes does God bring difficult circumstances in our life to discipline us? Yes, he does. He does. And when that happens, typically repentance removes the issue. Okay? But it's going to be a situation where you know very well what you did wrong. You're not going to have to search for it. Now, the reason why I bring that all into this discussion is because of what we're looking at today in John chapter 9. Jesus is in Jerusalem and he's passing by and he sees a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There it is. There's the question. Here's a blind man. Whose fault is it? Is it the parents' fault? Are the parents being punished? Is the actions of the parents being visited on the son? Are they the ones to blame for his condition? Or did he do something? Did he do something wrong? Is he to blame? Whose fault is it that this has happened to them? There's that natural question we ask. And Jesus' response, I should be going like this. Jesus' response is, no, it's not that this man sinned or that his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Let me say that again. It was not that this man sinned or his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. I want to bring this right to where you are at today. And why are you in the situation you're in? And the answer to the question is, you're in the situation you're in so that the work of God might be displayed in your life. Okay? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're looking at the week to come and you're like, man, I have so much going on at work, and it is so hard right now. I don't even know how I'm going to make it through the week. Why is this happening? And the answer is so that the work of God might be displayed in your life. That's the reason. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're struggling in your marriage. Oh, God, how did my marriage ever get to this point? The answer to that question is so that the work of God might be displayed. So that through you, His glory might be seen. That's His purpose. And we need to say, God, how is it that you are going to display your glory through this situation? Verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And having said these things, He spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said, said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. I just tried to picture this, you know? Spitting on the ground, taking some mud, smearing it in his eyes. Oh. Weird. Weird thing to do. And then he tells him, you know, go to the other side of town and wash your eyes. And the amazing thing to me is the blind man does it. For me, I'd be instantly, But he, I think, knowing Jesus' reputation, said, what have I got to lose? I'll do what He said. And he goes and he washes in this pool. And he sees for the very first time. He sees. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, isn't this the guy who used to sit and beg? And some said, yeah, it is. And others said, no, it just looks like him. Well, stop and think about this. We have some beggars in this city. Some of them have some physical issues. You know, sometimes you'll see a person begging, and maybe you pass them every day, and their feet are just deformed. And then one day you see him walking down the street perfectly well. Is that guy? How would you respond? This man's defining characteristic was he was blind, but now he can see. And so they're debating, is it him, isn't it him? I mean, that makes sense to me that they were debating. And he said, no, it's me. You know, you gave me 50 centimes last week when you were coming out of the bakery. Oh, that's right, I did, it is you. We got to take you to the religious people because you know they got to know about this. So they take the blind man to the Pharisees. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. And now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And so the Pharisees again asked him how he'd received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man can't be from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. He'd done a couple things wrong. He'd healed somebody on the Sabbath. That was work. But he also made mud, and they considered that to be work. So he can't be from God. He broke the Sabbath. But others of the Pharisees said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? So there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And the blind man said, he's a prophet. He's from God. Well, they didn't believe he had been blind and had received his sight, so they called his parents. And they asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? In verse 20, his parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But now he sees, and we don't know how, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He's a grown-up. He can speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, give glory to God. They put him under oath. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? What was the trick, they want to know. And he answered them, I've told you already. And you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you want to become his disciples? Wow. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we don't know where he has come from. And the man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would teach us? And they threw him out. What a confrontation. What a confrontation. The Pharisees were already set against Jesus. At the end of chapter 8, they were ready to kill him because Jesus had claimed to be God. And now this blind man is brought to them and is evidence that Jesus has done an incredible miracle. But it can't be, as far as the Pharisees are concerned. It can't be that Jesus is who he said he was. They are not open to that. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and so he went looking for him. I love that. It says, Jesus heard they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, I love this, you have seen him. This is a guy who has been blind his whole life. You've seen him. And it's he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believed. And he worshiped him. There's a famous hymn writer by the name of Fanny Crosby who wrote beautiful, beautiful hymns, wonderful word pictures in her hymns. She was blind. She was blind. And people were amazed that she could write such beautiful images even though she was blind. And they said to her one day, Fanny, oh, how great it would be, how great it would be if you could see. Because we can't imagine how beautiful your hymns would be if you could actually see things. And she said, oh no, oh no. I am more blessed than any of you. Don't you realize that the first thing I will ever see is him? Is Jesus? That'll be the first thing I ever see. This blind man was open. He was open to God working in his life. He realized by reputation that Jesus was probably from God. Everybody in Jerusalem is talking about him. And Jesus comes and puts some mud on his eyes and says, go, find the pool of Siloam. Walk through the streets with mud in your eyes. And by the end of the story, he is worshiping Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of Man, as the Savior, as the refuge. The work of God is being seen in his life. The Pharisees, on the other hand, the blind man became a worshiper. The Pharisees, who claimed to see and could see physically, became blind. Jesus says in verse 39, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. When some of the Pharisees near him heard these things, they said to him, are we blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Yeah, Pharisees, you are blind. Think about it for a minute. Jesus has a growing reputation as being a man of God. He has claimed to be God. You're kind of upset with him. And Jesus won't let you alone. Now a blind man has been sent to you. And you investigate it and investigate it and investigate it. And the reality is, Jesus has done an incredible miracle. And yet you're not open to the possibility that Jesus is who he said he is, in spite of it all. I've often wondered if the Pharisees had taken a different tack, if they had taken a different approach, if some of them would have early on become followers of Jesus. If, having seen this blind man, they would have come to Jesus and said, Jesus, explain it to us. Explain it to us. this isn't what we're expecting the Son of Man to be. Teach us. Show us. Reveal yourself to us in some way. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus explained from the scriptures who the Son of Man was. But the Pharisees weren't willing to be taught by Jesus. They were closed to him. And as a result, his coming to them exposed their spiritual blindness. It exposed how dead they really were. Yet because they claimed to be spiritually healthy, they were not willing to listen to the advice of the physician of their soul. You with me? It's interesting, in John 3, Jesus says that he did not come into the world to judge the world, to condemn the world, but to save the world. And yet here, in this passage, Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into the world." Is Jesus mixed up? Does he not know what he's talking about? No, the reality is that as the Savior comes, he exposes people's condition. He can't help it. You turn the light on and you see things. When Jesus comes into the room, things are revealed. So there is a kind of judgment that's taking place. The Pharisees are being exposed for having no relationship with God, even though they were very religious. The blind man is being saved because he was open to the work of God in his life. And that's the difference. The difference was their response to who Jesus is. And so my challenge for us this morning is, are you willing, are you open to saying, my current situation, whatever it is an opportunity for the work of God to be made manifest in my life? That the reason I'm going through this is so that the work of God can be revealed in my life. What does this have to do with driving around trying to find a parking spot on a rainy night in Strasbourg? Was I lost because of some grave sin in my life? I don't think so. But there was sin in my life, and God was dealing with it. God was dealing with it. One of the things that I realized that I have learned over the years of being here in Strasbourg is I carried with me a big pile of pride. I had been the pastor of a church for a long time. I was well respected. I was the answer man. People looked to me for all sorts of things. And God brought me here in part to humble me. Couldn't even find my way home anymore. I couldn't even stop and ask for directions. Not that I would anyway, you know. But God was using the circumstances to bring humility into my life, which I needed, so that his work could be more clearly seen. Okay? And I was open to that. God, teach me through this. Show me what to do through this. Lord, get me home, please. My friend's father passed away, died. Didn't live very long after coming down with cancer. But the testimonies of his faithfulness, the testimonies of the family walking through that have displayed the work of God in their lives. That through the midst of suffering, through the midst of dealing with that, God's work was glorified. And so my challenge is, are we open? Are we open to God's work being done in our lives? Or are we like the Pharisees saying, no, stay there, stay at a distance, God. We'll handle this ourselves. Let's pray. Father, oh, Father, I pray right now for those who are in difficult situations, who find themselves struggling. Lord, I pray that they would find refuge in you and that they would find healing in you, that they would find security in you, that the fact that you are their refuge and source of hope would be a testimony to the world around them of who you are. You are the one who takes a person who is blind and you give them sight. You are the one who takes a beggar on the side of the road and turns him into a full-voiced worshiper of the Creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who redeems, who sets free and liberates. Lord, may that be seen in us. May your work be seen in us. And Lord, I pray for those here today who are of the attitude that there's nothing wrong with them. And they don't realize that in reality they are poor and wretched and blind. They don't fully realize their spiritual condition. They may look good on the outside in the trappings of this world, but inside they are dead. Lord, expose that to them. May they understand that they are in need of a Savior, and that you are that Savior. Father, we pray for the continued work of your Spirit in our midst, that people would come to salvation, that people would be healed physically, spiritually, emotionally, that they would be set free. And Lord, that what would happen as a result is not that this church would become known, but that you would become known. That you would become known. In Jesus' name, amen.